Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast. Listen, if you want hacks, my friend, I'm afraid you're in the wrong place. Our philosophy has grown out of the 10K Collective London Masterminds. Members, by the way, make between $500,000 and $7 million a year in e-commerce, most on Amazon. Many have doubled revenue in the last 12 to 18 months. If you're that kind of person, this podcast is made for you. We're not puritanical. We use hacks. We just don't think you should focus on them if you're building a real business. Instead, we focus on what's been proven to work in the group. Real brand building, clear strategic objectives, courageous long-term goals, and long-range thinking. If you like that focus, keep listening, and welcome to the 10K Collective. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast. I'm here with Reid Mensah of Ecom Process, expert in, as the name implies, processes for e-commerce. So does what it says on the tin. And we talked in great detail in the last episode about how to develop processes and also, you know, what to do if you want to get somebody else to give you the processes ready-made, which is what Reid's guys specialize in. And the more you think about it and the more I have experience of it, the more it makes sense. I mean, creating your own processes from scratch, I did an equivalent of that with a video course last summer that I created for new, put to Amazon, and it took months. It's a lot of work, and it's often not worth it. So I think we've convinced people that it's worth at least considering strongly getting ready-made processes. But then, of course, you've got to have people to implement them. So this episode, we're going to talk about HR, people and hiring, which is a whole different can of worms, is what we would say in the UK. So tell me first about this. What sort of stages would you be looking to hire other people to do processes rather than just be doing things yourself?
Well, I would say that if you're going to outsource that, the $500,000 per year to, you know, if you're at anywhere over 30 SKUs, I would seriously think about getting that process in motion anyways, because if you can nip that in the bud at the beginning, then it makes the rest so much easier.
Absolutely. And it's very interesting that one of the members of the 10K Collective Mastermind is just getting up to the $1 million a year run rate. So it's about 80,000 so and something per month. But he's getting a team in place now, which looks like it should really be able to support a 10 million or maybe at least a $5 million business. And I think actually that's probably the right way around. It's obviously more painful to the bottom line in the short term, but he's got a clear vision of where he wants to build it and make it a more attractive asset to, you know, as a business asset. So that's interesting that you say that. So it seems to be kicking in around that mark. As I said on the other episode, that I do know $1 million a year sellers who don't have any VAs at all or any team. So I've seen both sort of extremes. But tell me a bit about project managers, because that is something I've experienced recently, that I've gone through a process of hiring along with a project manager who's like an HR professional. Do you need one? And if so, when does that sort of kick in?
Well, yes, a project manager. Now, I think a lot of people, when they see project managers, they think, especially in the e-com space and Amazon specific, that your project manager has to be an Amazon expert. And there's a little bit of a disconnect there, because your project manager isn't your Amazon expert. You're hiring experts to go do the jobs. Your project manager is someone who puts it all together, right? Their job is like, say, lean manufacturing. They deal with bottlenecks and mistakes, and they make sure that jobs are done right. Right. And so instead of, it's my personal opinion that instead of hiring someone who's an Amazon expert to be your project manager, I would go out and hire a lean expert or a Sigma 6 expert, right? You know, those are two sort of different things, but you know, say a green belt in Sigma 6. I know that's maybe some people don't know what that means, but that's a project management sort of quality system that's going to help you out. And your project manager is there to make sure things get done on time the way that they're supposed to be done.
Yeah, I have to admit that I have no idea what a Sigma 6 green belt is. That sounds like a mixer between a sort of judo master and somebody who wears a suit all day in a corporate. I mean, what is that when it's at home?
Well, what that is, basically Sigma 6 is an entire quality system. You know, it could be part of your QA or your QC. And I guess maybe we may as well delve into that. I talked about it in the first episode.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what is the, because you tantalizingly mentioned the difference between quality assurance and quality control. And so obviously quality control is something you know masses about from the oil fields experience that you had. So Sigma 6 is a ready-made quality control system, right? Is that basically it?
Right, but it's more of an over-encompassing how you develop your system, right? So a quality assurance manager and a quality control inspector, they're sort of two different things, right? So when you talk about a quality assurance manager, that's someone that develops and maintains the processes. And that's specifically what they do. They are the keepers of the system. And they do periodic compliance checks to see whether things are going, you know, they're more the auditors of the overall system. Whereas your quality control inspector inspects, audits, and then reports on the use and compliance of the staff in regards to the use of the processes. Now, for smaller companies, the QC inspector or quality control inspector is typically a role that is played by your project manager, right? So they're going to be the ones that are going in there and actually making sure that all the checkboxes are ticked. But once you start getting over, say, even 15 to 20 people, you're going to want to start looking at someone specifically dedicated to making sure that all of those parts are done correctly. And your quality control inspector and quality assurance manager would be the Amazon experts, right? They would not be the I direct people. They would be, I know how compliance works. I know what the terms of services are, and we're always watching to make sure that those things are taken care of, right? Now, a lot of times when you're even smaller than that, your C-level executives or your COO, your chief operating officer, will become the quality control inspector as well. But, you know, so that's the difference. The QA or quality assurance manager develops and maintains the system, the Sigma 6 system, the lean system. They maintain that. The quality control inspector goes out there and makes sure that the system is running correctly and that all of the boxes are ticked. And then your project manager is the guy fixing the bottlenecks and making sure that the mistakes get rectified correctly.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot to absorb. Let me just reflect back. So a quality assurance manager is responsible for creating the entire process and making sure that it stays up to date. The quality control inspector is there to inspect and make sure that people are following processes. And then actually the job of the quality control inspector kind of gets smushed together with that of the CEO when it's really small company. For slightly larger companies, the project manager wears two hats, the project manager and the quality control inspector. But once you get over 15, 20 people, you'll need a specific quality control inspector person just on their own. Is that a good summary of what you were saying?
I would say that would be very accurate, yeah.
Very, very interesting. So what's always very interesting, I find, for tiny but rapidly scaling companies is the following, that although you may have several people, you know, one person wearing several hats, you need to know that the roles are different so that A, you act differently when you're being the quality control inspector, but B, that you're going to be able to hire that out. Because otherwise, if you just assume that, oh, Mike's always done that bit, you don't know that it can exist as a separate role, you're not going to start hiring for it. And right. And therefore, it all just becomes a sort of blurred mess. And one of the things that strikes me about processes is that everything is very, very distinct. Everything's separated from other things. It's linked, but it's not shoved in together. So because that's my experience as a solopreneur, that my days end up with a blur of activities. When I track my time, I sort of doing 5 minutes here and then half an hour here and 2 hours there. And it's just, that's like the opposite of what a good business should be, right? Particularly if you want to sell it to somebody as a business in a box. If you're selling it to a CEO of a company that's retired and they want to get a business worth a few $100,000, they don't want to be spending like 60 hours a week on it. They want the idea they can do 10 hours a week and then the rest of it runs by itself. So that's, again, as a selling point, I mean, marketing and sales is more my comfort zone. That's really important. And this is how I sell myself on the idea of SOPs, by the way. I'm not naturally a process-driven person. I wouldn't say I love them, but if you're a salesman, then you got to think, okay, how can I make my company sellable? Well, it's absolutely tied down. You can say to somebody, you can run this in 5 hours a week. That's a huge selling point. So that's how I swallow the pill. So tell me more about project managers. Obviously, very important person, possibly earlier than some of us might think. And I do know, for example, somebody who's scaling up, as I say, doing $1 million a year, which is not a huge amount in the wider scheme of things on Amazon, since you can hit those numbers quickly. I mean, it's a great achievement, but it's still, there's a way to go before it's a really big business. And yet he's got a team of, I think, 6-7 people and hiring a few more. And he has a project manager part-time. So how do you find these wonderful people, the project manager? What's the best way to do that?
There's numerous places out there, but I guess back to, don't look for an Amazon specialist, look for a project management specialist. And I think it's important, because something that I kind of want to go back on is that processes and systems in general, let's face it, a lot of it is so that you as the executive can point a finger somewhere when something goes wrong. If you don't have these things in place, then how do you know where it went wrong and what happened, right? And your project manager, that's really their spot in the entire world of your business, is that they are there trying to locate those bottlenecks and mistakes, identify them for the quality control inspector to give you ideas on how to fix them, and then they go and implement that. So finding them, there's lots of places, but in the online world, the virtual world of employees, you want to make sure that they are proficient in the task management software of choice for your company. So you go to, say, onlinejobs.ph, you look for a Lean or a Sigma 6 practitioner, but not a quality, you know, not a developer, but they're a project manager, and you make sure you ask them, do you know how to use Trello? I think it's important that those three particular parts of your project management search should entail, right? You don't need someone to be the Amazon specialist. They need to specialize in making things happen.
Okay, so they need to have experience in project management. They need to be familiar with whatever your favorite sort of, like Sigma 6 or something like that, or Lean processes, and they need to be proficient in the tools of choice. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Wow. So these are obviously not people that are going to grow on trees, I'm imagining here. I mean, one thing I would just flag up is that you're talking about overseas workers, and you can sometimes, especially if you're hiring somebody with expertise like this, hire in the UK in order to get them to oversee overseas workers. So that's something that this client of mine's doing. For example, they got a project manager based in the UK who works with them part-time, and they are responsible for setting out the hiring processes, hiring people, and then managing them. But the workers themselves are in the Philippines to the large extent. And again, it doesn't have to be the Philippines, but they just do have a culture that lends itself to this kind of thing. They're conscientious. I mean, if you go to a culture where people are very creative but less conscientious, that doesn't lend itself so much to following processes, I guess. I mean, I'm thinking of Eastern Europe, where you have some amazing developers that I've worked with, but that's a somewhat different beast, isn't it, from somebody who's going to do SOPs. So if you are looking online and overseas, I suppose there's things like onlinejobs.ph that I know you've mentioned to me. Are there other places that you found good people for this kind of role?
Now, depending, once again, if you're a larger company, ideally having your project manager in-house is good, or where you hire most of your folks. We like to use a program called Go Hire. I think it's out pretty new, and what it does is it allows you to put the entire HR process automated, and it sends it out to indeed.ca or .com. I'm sorry, I'm from Canada, .ca. And it sends it out to all the different ZipRecruiter and this and that, and you just press it once and it goes out to all of these places. So there's systems out there that are just going to spread it all out for you without you doing a lot more work. I think the key is the actual HR process, bringing them in and asking them the right questions to guide them to do what you want them to do, to your vision. You know, you're the visionary, you're not the HR person. Tell your HR person to go hire the right people.
Yeah. All right. Tell me a bit about that process then. Yeah, what happens next? So you say, okay, I want to hire somebody. Presumably you've got to define the roles and things, haven't you? I mean, how do you go about all that?
Sure. And once again, we have numerous processes for that, but you would define the role. Maybe that is something that you as the founder want to have a hand in if it's a larger position. But for your VAs, you probably don't need to do that. There's numerous ways to get that done. So once you go through the actual interviews and the emails back and forth, then you want a contract, right? So you better have your contract set up correctly to save your butt in the case that, I don't know if you know this, it's been known for VAs to just disappear off the face of the earth, right? So you want to make sure that your systems are in place so that everything they've worked on is always in your control. So that's pretty important. Now, on that same note, if you're hiring someone like you're going for the project manager, they're going to need things like their own company email. You want to, once again, keep that in your own control. It helps automate it because then you're getting the same thing all the time. Once you've decided who you're going to hire, then you need an onboarding process. And that's super important because I can't tell you how many times when we initially started out our business that we would hire someone and then we had a lacking onboarding process that was missing one important part and it made issues down the line. So your higher level, your managers, you want to make sure that onboarding process is full of things that they need to succeed. You need to be helping them to succeed at the beginning so that they can go out and succeed. And I think in a project manager, maybe a little inventiveness is an important part of that. You know, they have to be problem solvers and think outside of the box. Sometimes you don't necessarily want that in a VA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they have to be more managed. They need some more leadership qualities or managerial qualities, maybe.
Right.
So I suppose you've already said hire a project manager, but imagine that you're being the project manager yourself. So that you're going to have to do some of the dirty work yourself in the early stages, or if you've got a smaller company. So let's imagine that you're not hiring a project manager, although that is a really great idea, but you're doing the work yourself. How do you go about hiring VAs? Let's say, for example, you want to hire a couple of customer service VAs and somebody to help with listing optimization and creation, including liaising with photographers, keyword research. That's already quite a lot of work. I mean, so how would you go about that situation?
A generalist is a difficult beast to find. If you can find a generalist that's going to do that, then that's the type of person that's going to move up to a project manager role. And that's another thing, you know, internally, if you can bring people up internally into those higher roles, and I didn't say that previously, but that's an important thing. If you always look internally to fill those larger roles. But if you were talking about a VA that you're bringing in brand new, you're going to want to look for someone that A, shows up because there's a mentality online that they're on their own time. And we use Hubstaff to track time. Now on things like, I think Upwork, they have their own time tracker and online.ph, but we bring it into our own so that we have more control over that. You would set them up simply and have their onboarding process where the project manager, once again, which would be you, would bring them into, say, the Trello board that they're responsible for. And it would take a simple 15-minute onboarding, say through Skype or just screen sharing with them and say, this is your process and this is how you click the boxes. And at that point in time, they don't need to be the Amazon experts. There's the boxes you need to click. Here's the steps. Please go do that over and over again and click those boxes so that I can see that it's done.
So that brings up one interesting question sorry to interrupt, but sure. Hubstaff. So is that a basic sort of time tracking / activity tracking thing? Okay. So absolutely. Yes, because I've come across other people who use that. That comes down to the question of how much supervision you think you need. I know some people feel strongly both ways about this. What's your view and your experience in terms of saying, right, here's a task, here's how long I think it should take you. I will want to see an update on Asana or Trello, and I'll go and check it, the work myself at some point, versus going, I want to see what they're doing every minute of the day. What's your take on that?
My take is if you have the processes in place, that is completely unnecessary. You should be able to, you wouldn't even need to open up the task to see where they're at it. Most of these task management programs have an overall, how are we in the process? And you just check that mark. In there, we like to separate things like in process. Is there a delay? So we'll have a delay column, right? So they know if there's going to be a delay and they think they're not going to be ready, then they'll just shift it over to the delay and put a simple note in there, and you'll get an alert. Oh, there's a delay. So that's where you as the project manager would come in and say, okay, let's quickly go finish this. Let's fix it. And let's forget this bottleneck and get that back to the in process so that you can move forward. And that is the real foundation of lean manufacturing is finding those bottlenecks and getting rid of them. So you really have to look at just the overall, how are they coming along? Because you're looking at the project manager, and it's in the name, right? You're the project manager. You're not the people manager.
I like that. Be a project manager, not a people manager. And I guess, obviously, you've got to manage people. You've got to keep them motivated. But one of the ways to demotivate people is to be constantly nagging them about small things. And I know that I've again, been that person. But again, if you have a lack of processes, my experience is you end up micromanaging silly things, like with my podcast editor, for example, that I would end up exchanging messages at midnight my time because he's in the States. So he tendably works sort of late afternoon in this. And the more I try and get things into Asana or Airtable, we use a lot for that one, then the less I have to do that, unless he has to refer back to me. And then I just look on Airtable and I can see, oh, that's done. Great. Fantastic. That's changed status from scheduled to published or whatever it is. So yeah, I agree with that. And thank you for that clarity. I think it's easy to end up micromanaging. Coming back to just hiring people then, you were saying getting a generalist is a difficult beast. And funnily enough, I suppose hiring a general person is like the most primitive kind of hiring, but it kind of requires the most sophisticated person on the other side of it. So if we turn that around and say, okay, I've got a very clear set of processes, I'm just hiring specifically for a customer service person for Amazon, how would you go about hiring that person? Again, if I'm wearing like the project manager / HR manager hat.
I mean, specifically, if it's customer service, then you would want to look for, I'm going to use an acronym here, a BPO, someone who's worked in the BPO system. I don't know what the acronym is, business process operator or something. But you're going to want to look at that. I mean, the specific role, once again, so Michael, I'm going to call you out on this. You're asking me to manage the people. I don't manage the people. So I mean, who would I hire as a customer service representative? I would look for a detailed person that knows how to read English and tick a box.
Have fairly low expectations of them then. Yeah.
It's just if the system's there, it should be that easy. And if it's harder than that, then you need to readdress.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's funny. And obviously, I talk to a lot of different experts in related but separate areas. And if you talk to people who are very team focused, then they talk about the people a lot. But of course, your massive focus and passion, I would say, is for processes. And I like the fact that if the process is really nailed down, you need somebody who can read English and tick a box. And I like it. So I don't think I can top that. Let's just briefly mention what sort of things you offer at Ecompresses. And tell us a little bit about Ecompresses as well. What's the background of the company, and what I know there's a couple of differences between that and a lot of the other agencies out there. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So we develop the processes, and our consulting side of our business is really where we've derived all these. And what that's helped us to do is see a variety of different factors in the Amazon space, particularly the Amazon space. Because, you know, a number of issues happen to different accounts. So we're always able to see these changes quicker. Like we're able to see things quicker than say you on your own single account, because we have a whole plethora, the whole spectrum to be able to pull out our immediacy from, right? And on the consulting side, our employees are certified and tested by Amazon. So that's something that there's a lot of consulting agencies out there, but only a select few are chosen to be able to partake in. We're part of a beta program where all of our employees are required to be tested and certified by Amazon. And that helps us keep within terms of service too, right? Yeah, because that's important.
That's super critical. And actually, this is your company is the first one I've ever heard of that is, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So obviously there isn't really widely available, but you guys are at the forefront of that. I think it's going to become incredibly important because it only takes Amazon to change the terms of service in terms of who can and cannot operate with their system. And suddenly the other agencies may not be able to operate at all. And if they are able to operate, they may not be as compliant as you guys are. And that's just kind of adding to your business risk. Like, who needs the risk of account suspension? Nobody. I mean, so that's a big selling point, in my opinion. I mean, because I talk to a lot of people, everyone is suddenly running Amazon agencies and that's up to them. And I give them a channel to connect to Amazon sellers in case there's mutual interest, and there often is. But different people have different things to offer. But I do think this certification by Amazon is potentially a game changer. So that's a really critical point that I want to emphasize, because that's not something I've ever come across with another agency. So I know you guys offer a process delivery system that you talked about, the software as a service system, and also you can, you know, get people to give their own copies on Word documents for the larger companies. Do you offer any sort of free training in this stuff? Because it's obviously quite an involved area. Is there ways that people can get free information from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually set this up specifically for the 10X crowd, members of this podcast. And if you go to ecomprocess.com/10X, that's ecomprocess.com/10X, then I have a 5-part scale fast using outsourcing course for you. And really I go over all the minutiae of hiring offshore talent efficiently and effectively in that course. And it's just an email course. There's no course upsell for you on that. It's just that's yours. And
that's just it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're missing a trick there.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know.
But that's really good. I mean, and I think we talked about this. There are a lot of minutiae involved, and we've given some very good overviews, I think. But the details do matter. So that's really helpful. Thank you. So Ecom Process, now just double set the spelling of that. So it's ECOM, just one M.
That's correct.
And, yep. And process, or process, as they say in the States, if you're listening. And it's /10X. The other thing is, obviously, you mentioned consulting. So you guys obviously do some kind of consulting. What sort of clients do you work with? And do you have sort of minimum criteria of the people you'd work with?
Our Atlantic East consulting agency is a brand management agency that, like I was saying previously, we have certified employees, and we typically work with 7-figure and above clients. Previously, we did one-off things like we would optimize your listing and that, but we're moving away from that. We're more focused on helping businesses scale fast and stay really compliant with Amazon standards, because I can tell you this is going to be a massive, massive thing coming up in the future. If you're not compliant, Amazon is just going to say bye-bye. So you want to make sure that you're in that space. Be that person.
Yeah. And I know for our private conversations, just that how much authority is behind that remark without breaking any other sort of terms of service or agreements, because Amazon is a funny old company to deal with. But yeah, I mean, you know some stuff about this. So this is a word from the top. And I think it's great that you've taken the relationship with Amazon so seriously, because I think in the end that has to be critical. If we're selling on their platform or we're not, and if we are, we have to absolutely minimize the risk of account suspension or making them unhappy. And you know, otherwise I think you have to just get off Amazon. But being on Amazon and doing a half job of being on Amazon is a risky place, and I think a lot of people do that. So thank you for offering that. And obviously, if anyone who wants to check that out, go to ecomprocess.com. And just remains for me to say thank you very much for bringing us a lot of detail, a lot of also very great nuggets to take away. Like, for example, the idea that a project manager, whether or not you're rolling it into the CEO role, is a separate role, and then a quality control inspector is separate. I mean, for me, those are a couple of sort of golden nuggets to take away and really think about how to implement in my business. So, Reid, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Michael. Once again, it was great being here.
Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast. I really hope you found the show helpful. I mentioned the London-based masterminds we've been running since September 2017. Members of the 10K Collective Mastermind make a minimum of about £480,000 a year, well over €600,000 or dollars. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/10KC, K for kilo, C for Charlie. £1 million mastermind members make a minimum of £1.2 million a year. That's about $1.5 million US dollars or euros. To find out more about that mastermind, go to amazingfba.com/MPM. That's M for mother, P for Peter, M for mother. Thanks for listening.